Now, I'm going to read a fairly long section, but most of us know the story of Hannah. And now there was a certain man of Ramah Zophan of Mount Ephraim, and his name is Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuha, all those guys, the Ephratite. If you want to really do a good job on your child, name him Tohu. Amen. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And the man went up to this city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord, the host unto Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Peniah saying to Hannah, ha, 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 I got sons, you got daughters, you ain't got none. You know what? God's the giver of life. Amen. And listen, she was tormented because of that. And verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so he provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. By the way, folks, let me say this. Fasting is a lost doctrine in fundamentalism. And we want something from God. We need to shut our mouth, shut our stomachs up, get on our knees, talk to God. Go for a walk in the woods. Go for a walk in the meadow. Do what you can to walk and talk with God. And take that day, instead of satisfying our flesh, and walk with God. Amen. She didn't eat. She had something she wanted. Now, are you burdened about missions? Are you burdened for the cause of Christ? Are you burdened for the 6.5 billion people on this globe? As much as Hannah was for a child, I hope you'll get burdened. You say, well, Brother Smith, we can't do anymore. You can if you get God into the action. Amen. She got God in it. And verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, then said Elkanah to her husband, Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not bitter better than those, than 10 sons? Listen, folks, would you get grieved over England? On the wall here a minute ago, would you get, my wife and I were there for a week in 77 at a fundamental Baptist, a world congress on a fundamental Baptist, and heard great preaching and went through Spurgeon's Tabernacle and all those places you showed and rode the tube and did all that stuff and enjoyed every moment of it and always said we're going back. And here, that's goodness, that's been a long time ago. We've never gotten back there yet. And one day I'm going to go visit Brother Salt and trust you'll be there by then. We'll get to go around in London a little more. And we went to other cities in England and visited them with Dr. John Rawlings, where he preached. While we were there. Now, listen, would you get a burden for those people who are blind and going to hell? They're blinded to the gospel. Would you get a burden for 60 million people in England? Would you get a burden for 10 million people in Haiti? Voodooism, worshiping Satan, and Catholicism. That isn't any different, folk. Worshiping Mary. You know, if you look in the Bible, Mary called Jesus Lord. You know, she worshiped the Lord Jesus. She didn't ask folks to worship her. Oh, listen, and she was in bitterness of soul, verse 10, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Every time in the Old Testament that anybody wept sore or cried out to God, God always answered their prayer. Would you get so burdened about the fact that you don't have what you want to give to faith promise that you weep sore? And oh God, dear God, lay on my heart what you'd have me give. Now God, I don't have those resources, so God, I had to lean on you. I trust in you. And dear God, would you provide that which you have laid on my heart? I'll fill the cart out. I'll turn the cart in. God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Amen. And you're going to have spiritual children when you fill that cart out and you trust your holy God and you get him to the action and you turn that cart in, and God, week after week, month after month, sends that money your way. Dear friend, you're going to have spiritual fruit to your account. Children of God are going to be born into the family of God. Amen. Oh, listen. And verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, I'll give him unto the Lord, and all the days of his life there shall be no razor come on his head. She said, if you give me, I'll give you. Dr. Jack Hyles' signed sermon was this. He'd get down on his knee and he'd do this. But he said most folks, their sermon, their silent sermon is like this. They want to get it and keep it to their account. As long as we're sending it out, ladies and gentlemen, God brings it in. When we quit sending it out, He quits. When we quit giving it out, He quits bringing it in. She was broken, weeping, fasting. Verse 12, came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm not a woman of sorrowful spirit. I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. By the way, let me just mark it there. Wine and strong drink are two different things. Amen. When you read about wine in the Bible, it's not fermented unless the context indicates it is. Amen. Just grape juice. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Or the devil, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I've spoken hitherto. Then Eliah answered and said, Eli, go in peace, for God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, Father, I pray you'll bless tonight. For these few moments together, I don't plan to be a long time. I pray that you'll open the hearts of the people. And Father, you'll open my mind. And Lord, that we'll see that by faith, Hannah got a child. And by faith, we can trust you. So that we can have children of God globally, be it in Haiti or be it in England or be it wherever, wherever the money is going out. From this great church here in Bucyrus, Ohio, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you six steps to faith promise right out of this text. Six steps to faith promise. Number one, tonight, the provocation. Hannah was provoked to have a child. Her husband's other wife kept after her. And of course, I'm sure that her husband wanted her to have children, and she was provoked to get with God, and she was provoked to get God into the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, we're helpless and without God in the picture. Amen. I was in 1977, associate pastor, Dr. Bill Dow, Springfield, Missouri, a great name in fundamentalism, and he had built a church to 4,000 in Springfield. He had a second church there in Springfield by God's grace, and he and I helped rebuild that church. It had been destitute, it had been falling apart, and split open wide by gossip from 1,200 to 300 is a long way, folks. From 12,000 a week offers to about 1,200 a week is a lot of fall, but he became the pastor and the preacher. I was privileged to be his associate. But when they called me to Arkansas to pastor a church, I was making about $36,000 a year there in Springfield, Missouri. That wasn't too bad in 1977 for an associate pastor. They told me at the church in Arkansas, it didn't make any difference to me what they paid me, because I have a life verse. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All. How much? All. Biggest word in the Bible is the word all. All your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I took that God sent me there. I had no doubt it didn't go. I would not be right with God. And we took that church in Arkansas, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and good people. And they said to me, we're sorry, but all we can pay is $25,000 a year. I said, fellas, it doesn't make any difference. I was $11,000 short on my budget. Why didn't it make any difference? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you have a God. If you get God into the action, if God called me, God's going to take care of me. Amen. And if I could sing that song, God will take care of you through all the stuff and all that, I'd do it. But I don't sing very well anyway. Now, listen, most of us are looking on the horizontal plane for life. We're looking this way at what we can get and what we can do for ourselves. And looking this way, what we can give to God. Would you quit looking this way? Now gather up all you can this way. Would you look this way? I mentioned this morning a lady that gave $1 million last year to the cause of Christ. She started her business for the sole purpose of supporting the Lord's Word. And gave $1 million last year to the cause of Christ. That's in 3 years flat running from starting the business. Now, she wasn't looking this way horizontally. She's looking with this way, a godly woman, a woman that knows God, walks with God, a godly woman. And dear friend, would you look to the heavens of heavens? Would you look to God for your faith promise? And quit looking to the arm of the flesh so you can step out by faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Oh, listen tonight. Listen to me. Hannah, Webb, she was provoked. Would you get provoked tonight about the three that are dying every second somewhere on this globe? Would you get provoked tonight about 180 people every minute dying? About two-thirds of those have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel anywhere. Amen. Would you get so provoked that you get God involved in your faith promise? Number two, the provocation, the prayer. She said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Samuel, the ask for is what it means. Would you believe the word of God like she believed God? Eli, God's man, said, hey, you're going to get what you asked for in verse 17. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Would you ask God to lay on your heart what he would have you do, not what you can figure out, what you can faith out? Amen. The just shall live by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, dear friend. Dr. Russell Anderson had the drywall business, and as you know, made millions and has given away $35 million and more, and keeps giving away and keeps giving away, and no longer in that business there in Ypsilanti, Michigan, but all, up on top of a big billboard on top of his building about Jesus Christ, unashamedly. A man of God, looking to God, 3 hours every morning in the Word of God. He spent 4:30 to 7:34. He started his day so that he'd start his day with God. Amen. He would shine a light, his desk lamp, in his face every morning after he got done studying his Bible. And he'd say, God, show me, as though it was the Shekinah glory of God shining on him. Show me anything in my life not pleasing to you. Is it any wonder that God used him to support missionaries around the world? Is it any wonder God used him to make multiplied millions of dollars? Now, folks, when God did that for him, some of that stuck in his hand. Condo on Waikiki Beach in Hawaii. And lived there much of the year. Would fly back and forth from preaching engagements. And I don't believe he lives there anymore. They've moved back to the States. Last time I saw him, Kevin Wynn was with him, the great preacher in Mexico City. To me, the most powerful preacher in the world. And running 3,500 there, I believe, regularly at his auditorium. And Mexico City, one of the most dangerous cities in all the world. And he wants to buy the warehouse next door. And I said, Brother Wynn, how much is that warehouse? He acted like he didn't hear me, because some folks that want some things won't tell you what it is, and they won't share. I said, Brother Wynn, he's standing there right with Brother Anderson. I said, Brother Wynn, look at me. How much is that warehouse? I need to pray. And Brother Anderson butted in, and he said, well, he didn't butt in. He can butt in any time he wants. He's got the millions, amen. And Brother Anderson said, I've told Brother Wynn, if I sell my condo on Waikiki for $3 million, I'll give you a million. I said, I'll pray. I said, Brother Wynn, how much is that air warehouse? And he told me $2.5 million. He can grow to 15,000, I believe it is, if he gets that warehouse. Can you imagine? It's huge. They park all their buses, all their vehicles, and everything in that warehouse. That's how big it is. That's, you know, it's like a big, I don't know what it is. It must be acres and acres and acres. He said we'd have to sell some of our property. Well, I've been asking God, give him $2.5 million to buy that warehouse. And oh God, help him not to have to sell any property. You see, people won't come. They got doctors and lawyers. They've led to Christ, and they won't come because of the vandalism on their vehicles and because of the danger of robbery and things like that, so on and so forth. But, you know, Kevin Wynn has faith to believe because God called him there. Yes, sir. I believe perhaps the most powerful preacher I've ever heard in my life. Now, sacrificing for Christ in that place. Could you get a burden for Mexico and Mexico City, perhaps the largest city in the world? I don't know, 24 million, something like that. I'm not sure. Could you get a burden for those people that live in cardboard boxes? Could you get enough burden for England, for Haiti, where probably it's worse there? That big thing came through last year and about wiped that island out. 2 years ago, I guess it was. And I was hoping it would wipe voodooism off the island, very frankly. Could you get a burden for the lost and dying world? Just get a burden. Oh, my friend, I got a burden early in life when I was a little child, like these boys back here. And if anybody had encouraged me, I'd be on the mission field today. I didn't have a word of encouragement from anybody. I'd have walked that aisle, given my life, and gone somewhere for Christ. Going into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian. That commands to every person. Every person. If you read that, it's your command, folks. Amen. The prayer. Only God can open the womb of a person. I was at Hiles Anderson College one day after I'd retired from teaching, and a young couple came up. I was in the dining hall, and I didn't even know who they were. And faces are familiar, but when you've taught 6,000 students, you can't remember every name. My wife and I were staying in the bed and breakfast Thursday and Friday because Saturday was our anniversary. We had a pre-anniversary celebration, and there was in the bed and breakfast on Friday morning was two of our graduates married to each other and sitting there eating breakfast. Gabby. Oh, she was Sanchez, but anyway, I'll get the other name in a little bit. They were there eating breakfast. And we fellowshipped a little bit and had a good time together. But you know what? Both bus kids from Chicago, amen? Somebody had a burden. Somebody had a vision. Dr. Jack Hiles had a vision of winning Chicago to Christ. He had a vision for America and traveled America every Monday and Tuesday preaching in churches just like this all over America because he had a burden for America. And I believe with all of my heart we have freedom today because of a man named Jack Hiles who had a vision for America. Amen. Churches were planted all over America. Now, Dr. Scott has a little different vision. His vision is world missions. He wants to put 1,000 missionaries on the mission field in his lifetime. Amen. Amen. I believe he'll get it done. I really do. I do. 30 of them will be going to Ghana, Africa, here in just a few days. By the end of October, they'll be gone. Oh, the prayer. She cried out, oh God, do you believe in the Bible? James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, do you believe this precious book? Oh, God said it. That settles it. I used to say, God said it, that settles it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And my preacher wife said to me one day, you know how wives are ought to do? They straighten their husbands out once in a while. She said, honey, it don't make any difference whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it, amen. And that's true. But you know, it's not effective in your life until you believe it. Would you believe that you, if you ask, God will give it to you? Would you believe that you cry out to God, God will give what you need? Would you believe tonight that that God will take you in as a partner in Faith Promise Missions if you'll believe and you'll trust your God? The prayer, would you believe? God would have you meet. What would you have me do? Number three tonight, the promise. The promise. I'll give unto you a man child. Hannah stepped out by faith, promised God that which she did not have. She didn't have a man child to promise God. She said, God, if you'll give it, I'll give it back to you. The most valuable possession she ever had in life was her boy. The most empty woman in all the world is a woman without a child that wants a child. Well, I think there's some women that are cockeyed nowadays that don't want children, but I think there's something wrong with them. Maybe they're lesbians. I don't know what they are, but they don't have a proper love for children. And this dear woman, she wanted a child. And the most valuable possession she... Would you give the most valuable possession you have to God if in fact He wanted it? Would you be an Abraham and take, like Isaac took his son to Mount Sinai and laid him on the wood to offer him unto God a blood sacrifice, because God said so, his most valuable possession? Thank God for those who came down this morning, invitation, I was pleased. And hopefully you laid everything you have out of your heart on the altar. You laid your own life there. If God wants you, you'll go. I was pleased to go to India. Brother Scott asked me to go last December, and thank God he paid my way. And 54 hours just to get there. 56 hours to come home. Chicago to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Bombay, Bombay to Chennai. We stayed overnight and got on a train and rode through the night, 12 hours through the night, the most dangerous railroad system in all the world. That old train's doing this all night long. Like this, doing this. Thank God for a Baptist pastor in Chennai that got us on the train and knew the language and the Telugu language and conducted things with the conductor and got us a little better sleeping quarters on the train, because if you sit up, it's just a wooden bench. That's all it is. 12 hours through the night. 54 hours just to get to the town we were going to speak in. Then we got a hotel room. It's a nice room for India, I'm sure, but it had roaches in it. Woo-wee! I thought, I'm going to take this suitcase home. I'm going to leave it here. You know, I don't take that thing in my house. We don't have roaches in our house. And we're going to get rid of this job. And I said something to another man about it, and he said, well, it's the best there is in town. And I walked about three blocks to a hotel I saw down three blocks away and walked through some of the rooms and looked at them. Same price. Weren't no roaches there, amen. I guess he didn't know about them. I don't know. But you know what? Before I went to India as a representative for Brother Scott and brought him back a 25-page typewritten report on India and whether or not we could go and do the job we want to do there. Can we start a church, and can we have a school, and can we go soul winning, and on and on and on. How much does land cost, and how much does this cost, how much square foot does it cost to build a building, and how does it cost to build a church and build a school building, and on and on and on and on, and for night of everything. What does it cost to rent a car for the day, and how much the driver cost, and what's the bus cost there, and how much it cost to rent a bus driver because you don't want to drive there? The cows have right of way, and the next person that has a right of way are the people on the bicycles, and there are 29 billion of them in one place at the same time. And the next person that has a right of way, little mopeds and motorcycles, and the next thing that has the right of way are trucks, and we don't have any box trucks just like them. They're not big as a semi, but they're bigger than a regular two wheel box truck, you know, like a U-Haul or even a dual axle truck here. Those boxes must be, I don't know, regular semi trailers, what, 53 feet. Those boxes must be 35, 40 feet long on those trucks everywhere. And you just hope to God you don't get run over while you're there. You wouldn't dare drive there. And the point is this. I couldn't go to India and represent Brother Scott and properly do my job, especially preaching to the people, unless I knelt myself down and I said, God, I'm going to India to conduct business for Brother Scott and to preach the gospel and to teach at pastor school. And dear God, I want you to know that in order for me to be prepared in my own heart, I will go back to India if you want me as a missionary in India. I'm 64 years old.
Amen.
You see, God doesn't call you everywhere you surrender to go. He just wants you to surrender. Amen? I'll say it again, what I said to start out with. If there's any place you won't go, anything you won't do, anything you won't give, anything you won't be for Christ, you've never really given your life to Christ yet. Until you quit holding on to your own life, God will not bless you to the fullest extent. Let go and let God have His way. Oh, you can't hang on, folks. You've got to let loose. Amen. Well, the prayer, the promise. Oh, Hannah stepped out by faith. Promised God what she did not have. Would you promise God what you don't have? Would you say, God, what would you have us do? And He says, whatever it is, $50 a week. And you say, God, I don't have that. That's okay. He does. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That word acknowledge means make Christ known. I got about an hour and a half sleep this afternoon. I needed it desperately, and I was revived enough to be a good witness to the lady behind the counter this afternoon. And so I went down and I carried my alarm clock because I could not figure out how to use it. More and more, they make them more difficult to use. I couldn't even make the clock work. It was just stuck on 221 or something like that. And I thought, man, I'm really an intelligent being. I'm in this hotel room. Can't even make a stupid clock go forward. Amen. And if you stayed in many hotels, I think you know what I'm talking about. Even techies can't make them work. I said, lady, she's a blonde. I said, can a blonde fix this thing and make it work? And she looked at me. She said, I'm not sure I can. And she looked at it for a while, and I had spent many a minute studying that stupid thing two or three different times. They are good at inventing things that people don't know how to operate, aren't they? Amen? And they want you to read the book. I don't want to read a book. I want to pick it up and use it. And except they got nobody wrote a book on my wife. But anyway, that's all right. You can laugh. We've had 45 years of a wonderful marriage. 45 years. Never had a fight. That's what I say. Now she sees it from the other side. We may have had some disagreements. Amen. Never had a fight. She came from an old, cold, dead, modern liberalistic church where I doubt the preacher was saved. From one Sunday to the next, hellfire, brimstone, independent, soul winning Baptist church, Dr. John Rawls. From one to the next, and never complained, never questioned one time. What a wonderful woman. What a blind date will do to a fella. She got down on her knees and she got saved from reading her Bible. Avid reader. She knew her life was going the wrong way. God showed her the plan of salvation in the Bible. She got saved. And she said, Lord, send me a man to lead me and guide me. And her best friend set up a blind date for us. Within 30 days of that prayer, I showed up, a Fuller Brush salesman. Little did she know that she'd marry a stupid Fuller Brush salesman, much less a preacher of the gospel, within just a few years. Yeah. We're talking about faith. Oh, the promise, I'll give him back to you. Would you ask God what he'd have you do and then say, God, as you send it, I'll give it back to you. And she gave her most valuable possession in all the world. My son's in Barbados, West Indies. And you may say, well, that's a mighty nice place. And many ships go there and all these things that go around in the ocean. And it is nice for those people to see, though. But you know what? It's a much harder field than Nigeria, Africa, where he pastored 10 years. Much more difficult field. 10 times, 100 times more difficult there. Gasoline there. This will make you quit complaining about gas. Did you know God sets the price of gas? Gasoline there is $3 a liter. There's four of those things in a gallon, thereabouts, plus or minus. That's $12, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you be glad that yours is only, what is it, $2.75 or $2.65 around here? The cheapest I've seen in the last couple of days is $2.58. Amen. It makes me want to take a tanker truck over there and get some. Amen. But anyway, he taught on tithing. And he had a mechanic in his church that made the commitment to start to tithe, but the mechanic couldn't tithe because he didn't have any work. On Sunday, he made the commitment to start to tithe. By Tuesday, his whole yard was full of cars, and he had no place to put the cars because people wanted them fixed. Amen. Now, some of you don't even tithe in this room. If you don't tithe on all, you don't tithe at all, is a little coin phrase I've coined. If you don't tithe on all your increase, everything that comes your way. I pastored in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I left there in 1977. They were paying me $36,000 a year. After 10 years, I caught up with what I was making 10 years earlier. I didn't go for money. I don't serve God for money. But they paid me $12,000 a year in cash, checks. And they gave me $24,000 a year in fringe benefits. Now, do I tithe on only the 12? Or do I tithe on 12 plus 24, which is 36? I've got to tithe on the 36. I have a sermon, I believe with all of my heart, that we could win the world to Christ if just Christians would tithe on all their increase. So I tithe on the 36. When I went to work at Hiles Anderson College, I went to Mrs. Stevens, who took care of the books. I said, Mrs. Stevens, I have health insurance supplied. What's the premium a month for my family? I have to tithe on it. She just looked at me. She said it's $386 a month. Thank you. So I owed God $36.80 for the tithe on that premium. You see, that's something that was being paid out for me, even though I didn't see it. It accrued to my benefit, part of my increase. I go to the doctor, go to the hospital, taken care of. I went to the dining hall where we had free meals, and I figured out how many meals our family ate a month. We could eat three meals a day, a whole family for a month, each every day if we wanted. And we figured out how many meals we ate. I said, Dr. Rasmussen, how much are the meals average? She said $1.68. And so I figured out how many meals I ate times $1.68, and I started to tithe on it. And folks, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't tithe on your fringe benefits, you don't tithe at all. If you don't tithe at all, you've got a curse of God on your life. And don't put your tithe in the faith promise offering. It don't belong there. It belongs to this church. It belongs to paint the walls and keep the lights on and pay for the air conditioning. Take care of the pastor and his family. By the way, the Bible says that the ox is worthy of double honor. That's double honorarium, double paycheck. He's an ox. You study your Bible. Ox is a type of the pastor is a type of an ox is a type of the man of God. Amen. Oh, listen. The provision. When we get God involved, God supplies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, we must get God involved. Samuel means ask of the Lord. And I started to mention a while ago about a college wife and a man and his wife came up to me in the dining hall and said, Brother Smith, God's laid on our heart to ask you to anoint my wife and pray that she can have a child. We can't have children. And I was in a dining hall, and so I sent a worker back in the back to get some olive oil. They came back and said they don't have any. I said, well, then go back there and get some motor oil. Get any kind of oil. This lady wants to get pregnant. Amen. So they came back with some cooking oil. And if you ever smelled the cooking oil in the kitchen at Hiles Anderson College, it isn't the most pleasant thing always, but they got some new stuff. Amen. A little bold, and I took and anointed her on her head and laid my hand on her head and prayed that she'd get pregnant and have a child. And one day at the church, many months later, they came up to me, and frankly, I hadn't remembered them. I have seizures, and part of my brain cells are dead and dying, and I take medicine that causes my brain not to do what it needs to do all the time, but it doesn't affect my preaching. Amen. Amen. And they just showed me this baby, and they said, Brother Smith, we're the couple that saw you in the dining hall 9 months ago and asked you to anoint my wife and pray that she'd have a baby. And there was that precious baby. So they got God involved through God's man, amen? And would you get God involved in your faith promise mission and let Him give you the provision, dear friend? Without God involved, we'll never go forward. You'll be doing it in the flesh. Oh, listen. She asked for something she didn't have. She got God involved. She fasted and prayed. Freshman girl came to me one day and she said, Brother Smith, I owe $600 on my bill at the college. And young lady, you're going to college. Mark note of this. She said, I have $60. She said, my friends have told me to pay it on my bill, but God has laid it on my heart to give it to somebody. I instantly said, lady, give it away. I shared with the gentleman taking me home today and picked me up this morning. Picked me up this morning. How that my wife and her brother invented copper wire. My wife is full-blooded German and half Jew. I mean, she's half straight Jewish blood. Her daddy was full-blooded Jew. Raised a Gentile. Long story. But she has Jewish blood. And a lot of it. And her dad is German and her mother is French. Alsace-Lorraine can't make their mind up whether they're French or German. They're back and forth, all the time. So that's German blood. All of it. She and her brother invented copper wire. And they said, really? Yeah, they were fighting over a penny one day and made copper wire out of it. And that's how tight my wife is. And she married me. Gives away everything in sight. She said, she tied herself down one day. She said, you're not giving me away. I've given away the kids' bikes. Now, I shouldn't have done that. I gave away her car one day when I was a pastor. I gave away two of my own cars. And did you know what? The next year, two men came to me and said, Brother Smith, we want you to go out and buy any car you want, brand new. You can't outgive God. God tells you to do something, do it. You can't outgive God. So I went out and I bought an Olds 88. I didn't want to take advantage of them. And it was a nice car and I enjoyed it. They made the payments. Two of the deacons in the church. It wasn't the church, the deacons. It wasn't long till the church bought my wife a nearly brand new car. And, you know, she got rid of the 1974 model that she had, you know, whatever it was. And a very nice car. And then we came to pastor school. The church did. 34 of us came to pastor school on a Greyhound-type bus. And you know what? 33 people gave their life to Christ full-time service at pastor school. But we brought a nice Ford vehicle up there for my son, who's the missionary in Barbados. He was a freshman first semester. Second semester by then at pastor's. It pays to give away things. Amen. Amen. Fellow, if you want two wives, just never mind. Anyway, you can't outgive God. I need to move along. I've got so many illustrations. The provocation, the prayer, the promise, the provision, the payment. Hannah gave that boy, Samuel, to God. You know the story. After she'd weaned him, took him to Eli for Eli to raise him. Oh, listen, tonight, would you take even the most precious possessions you have, your life, your wife's life, your husband's life, your children's lives? I'm often asked, Brother Smith, how did your children turn out so well? I say to people, I look them in the eye and I say, won't know till they die whether they turned out well or not. But so far, everything's all right. My oldest is 42. My youngest is 25. Never given me a day of one day's problems, any of them. Never been off into sin, to my knowledge, any of them. Why? I just tell them. I say, if anything, two, three things. Number one, we gave them to God the day they were born. We laid them on the altar. Didn't miss a Sunday. They're on the altar. By the way, you ought not miss a Sunday. My wife only missed one Sunday because of one difficult delivery and delivering four children. Surely to God, you can be here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You ought to be here every time the doors squeak. You don't know what you're going to miss. Hello? Be here at soul winning time. I don't know what it is, Thursday night, Saturday morning. Surely it's soul winning. You ought to be here. If you just pass out tracts, just go to be a silent partner and pray while somebody else witnesses. You be here. Be here. Be here. If you're not here and you used to be here, you're backslidden. Hello? Anytime you're not doing what you used to do, you're backslidden. Say, Brother Smith, don't say that about me. I just did. Amen. You've gone backwards from what you used to do. The payment. She made the payment. Now, folks, you've got to believe. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, I want you to listen to me. He promised to meet your needs, not your greeds. You don't have to have a big flat screen TV. If you have one, that's a luxury. Why don't you put as much in the offering plate for missions this year as you paid for that stupid television? Hello? There's nothing on there anyway worth watching. When you sit down to watch your favorite program, ask yourself, does this glorify God? Do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Does it glorify God? Could you set Jesus right there with you? I will not eat in many restaurants that say a restaurant and bar or something like that, Applebee's. I won't go in it. It's primarily a bar with a restaurant around it. Yes, sir. I can't take Jesus through the door. It doesn't glorify God. I was in Kansas City, Kansas, preaching. The hotel was right next to a Mexican restaurant. I love Mexican. I'll be done for midnight. Amen. We'll be out of here shortly. I love Mexican. I walked and they bragged, the people behind the counter bragged on the food in the restaurant. And boy, I was salivating. I walked over there and looked in the front window. And about five signs across the front windows, this beer, that beer, this liquor, that liquor, I couldn't take Jesus in there. Knowing that's what they promote. I looked down the street and the thing I saw was a Dairy Queen. I walked down to Dairy Queen two blocks, ordered me a hamburger, sat down and ate it. Thank God for it. To me, it was just as good as that Mexican food that I would have eaten and enjoyed intensely, which I very much love. Why? I can't take the Lord Jesus into a place like that. What do you got in your life that doesn't glorify God? Things not going well in your life, your marriage or whatever, personally, and you're a little grumbly about things in life. Maybe it's something in your life that God's not pleased with that you need to just let go. The lady behind the counter today got saved. Precious. I pray and ask God to give me divine appointments. I'd rather have divine appointments, very frankly, than to try to beat somebody over the head to give them the gospel. Tears welled up in her eyes. Soft, tender. She said, sir, I've been mad at God for, I think she said, 2 years. My father-in-law passed away, a preacher of the gospel, with cancer, and I blamed God. But she said, I'm over it now. And she received Christ, and I invited her to come, and she said, I'd like to come. I told her the name of the church, and best I could, where in the world it was, and she said, I know where that is. Preacher's got her name, address, phone number, and permission to go see them. Amen. The prosperity. If you're still there and you don't have to turn there, the prosperity is that God gave Hannah 5 children. In chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." You see, the prosperity is, after the payment is made, that God will bless you. You can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. You see, He'll bless you. Dr. Anderson's given so many millions. He has nice places to live in and has nice cars and all of that. Because God is not going to leave you destitute. You'll get further ahead in life if you'll believe in God and trust Him and not look this way. If I look this way, good night. I left the college in August of 1965, maybe in my last month, and I'd resigned twice that summer. The first time the preacher talked me out of it, and the second time God just kicked me in the teeth and said, "Son, I told you to get out there and preach." I said, "Yes, sir." I was in Montana this time of the year, a little earlier than this, in August, preaching. Family conference, the camp, beautiful place. Preaching in churches out there and on vacation a little bit. And I just called back to the secretary and dictated a letter. And I said, put it under his door, dictated but not signed. My resignation. My privilege to teach in the world's greatest college for 17 years. But I had to obey God. Now watch this. I lost my health insurance. I lost my life insurance. I lost my paycheck. Stepped out blind faith because God said that. And that's what faith promise is. Hannah stepped out in blind faith, believing God would do what He said He'd do. And in her heart, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And tonight, would you step out by blind faith? Begin into faith promise missions. Increase your faith promise missions. Or whatever it might be. Now, Father in heaven, we've been a lot longer than their normal time. I know that. They've been good to me and sat there and listened. I pray tonight that they'll respond to your speaking to their heart in whatever manner that you've spoken to them. Mrs. Oxendine has come to the piano, I believe, and she started playing. As we stand together, would you respond? God spoke into your heart. Would you come to this altar? It wouldn't hurt if you came this morning for you to come again. And just lay it all on the altar and say, "God, here am I. Here am I. Whatever I've got belongs to you. And whatever you want. God, show me what you want me to do in the Faith Promise Missions offering this year for the cause of Christ worldwide." Would you play, sister? And would you, ladies and gentlemen, would you come? Don't grieve the Spirit. Would you come? Don't grieve the Spirit. Would you come? That's it. If you can't kneel, you sit on the front row. If you can't kneel, sit on the front row. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? The Spirit in your life. Not only does it affect you, it affects your partner, it affects your family, it affects your children. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come? Would you come?